Welcome to the Sermon of the Week podcast from Indianola First in Indianola, Iowa. We pray this message will encourage you and help you grow as you deepen your relationship with Jesus.
Well, church, I don't know about you, but and I'm not sure how you consume media, but most of us probably in this room have either watched TikTok videos or you watch YouTube shorts or you watch Facebook videos or Instagram reels. I would imagine most of us watch these short form videos, probably the vast majority of us watch these things. And I don't know what your content is. I don't know what pops up on your feeds, but on my feed, you know, we all know that it's an algorithm that feeds it. And so it's like, it knows kind of who you are, probably knows more about you than you want it to know, right? It knows like who you are and how old you are, whether you're male or female, and it knows what you've watched before. And so this algorithm likes to feed you stuff that it thinks that you're gonna like, right? And so you kind of end up watching the same type of videos. And I don't know what kind of videos you have pop up on your feed, but on my feed, I got a healthy dose, or maybe an unhealthy dose, of car detailing videos. They absolutely mesmerize me. I have, ashamedly, I have sat for hours before and watched people cleaning cars, right? It sounds ridiculous, but I absolutely love it. And what is really kind of weird about that as I got to thinking about this is, like most of you in here, I have multiple streaming subscriptions. How many of you have more subscriptions than you should have, streaming-wise, okay? It's a new year. Maybe we need to cut them off, right? I'm talking to myself. But I've got subscriptions to multiple streaming platforms. And I got to thinking about this. On those platforms are some of the greatest movies and TV shows ever made. Movies that have budgets of hundreds of millions of dollars, like world-class actors, like the best there are. You've got in those movies and TV shows some of the greatest musicians playing some of the greatest music that was ever produced. Has anyone ever heard the Star Wars theme? Tell me that's not the greatest thing ever produced. Come on. We got some Christians in the house this morning. Amen. But not only that, we have movies and TV shows that have these mind-blowing digital effects where these digital artists, some of the absolute best in the industry and into the world, are pouring their craft into it and we get to watch them. Not to mention the fact that some of these movies are shot on the most incredible locations that this planet has to offer, and they're breathtaking and they're beautiful. And you think about that, and it's amazing that we have access to that much stuff, right? And not only that, for me, I've got subscriptions to sporting streaming too. So I've got, you know, every kind of sport almost imaginable, at the greatest athletes at those sports competing at the highest level on the biggest platforms in the world. So I have all of this at my disposal. But you want to know what I spend 90% of my time watching? I spend 90% of my time watching Earl in the garage on his iPhone vacuuming out his 2003 Honda Accord. That's what I choose to watch, right? It's weird when I talk about it and I say it that way, but that's the truth of the matter. Can anybody relate to that this morning? Some of you are honest and you want to admit to it. Again, maybe it's not just cars. Maybe it's other things. And it sounds ridiculous when I say it that way, but there's really one word that encompasses why it's so mesmerizing to me, and that word is transformation. I love a good transformation. There's something about a good before and after shot that just gets me every single time. And a couple of years ago, it got me so motivated that I was like, you know, I gotta just stop watching these videos. I wanna actually start trying some of this for myself to see how it's gonna go. So the last couple of years, I've been collecting tools for detailing, and I've been collecting some of the chemicals and the things that you need to detail cars. By the way, I'm not looking for side work, okay? So don't ask. Bobby, where are you at, Bobby? He's got lots, he details cars and he's got lots of time on his hands, so go ahead and ask him afterwards. But I got all this stuff and I wanted to, you know, and I've been putting it to use little by little and using it on my cars and getting better and learning how to clean. One of my favorite transformations happened this summer. I bought a used Jeep Cherokee and I got a really, really good price on it. And part of the reason I got a really good price on it was because the thing was filthy. And, you know, when I saw the interior, most people would have been like, oh, that's so gross. And it stunk really bad. But you know what I was like inside? I was like, oh, man, This is going to make for a good transformation. And I think it did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I want to show you some of the befores and afters, and you can get an idea of what I was dealing with and what I got to do. So that was a before, obviously, of the door, and that was the after. It just does something to your heart, doesn't it? those were the back seats that I took out, and those were the after of the back seats. And then here's some of the interior shots. Interior, yeah, it was rough. There's a lot of treasures in there, lots of treasures. And here's the after of the interior. Oh man, it's like revival just happened. And I think, is there more, or is that it? I think that's it. Yep, that's it. So, don't you just love that? Don't you just love the before and after? Doesn't it just do something to you? I'd wager to say that I'm probably not the only person in this room drawn to that type of content, whether it's home renovations. How many like the home renovations? You know, the befores and afters. Maybe it's, you know, like me, car restorations. You know, not just detailing, but car restorations. I think that's a lot of fun to watch. How many of you like to watch even just transformations of people's health journeys when, you know, they're overweight and they're feeling, you know, and they have take the before pictures and then they go and they start eating right and they start exercising and they show their progress and you see the after. How many people enjoy watching that? I think there is something about that type of content that just speaks to me. How about power washing? Anybody get into power washing videos? Gosh. You see like a patio and you don't even know it's a patio, it's just overgrown, and then somebody comes in and starts taking the weeds out and they power wash that thing and you're like, oh, just hours, people, of my time I could spend watching it. Just taking even something disgustingly dirty and cleaning it is a lot of fun to watch. There's such an attraction to seeing something get a new life, I think, that appeals to a lot of us. I don't know if you've ever stopped to consider that. You probably haven't, but I did. I was like, what is it about that makes it appealing to a lot of us? And I think it is the fact that this radical transformation and new life is really baked into our DNA, into our soul by God himself. And that's what we're going to be celebrating today. New life, both physically through dedication and spiritually through baptism. And you've already witnessed a new life being brought into our church this morning through dedication. And in just a minute, you're going to see firsthand lives that have been made new through Jesus Christ. And I want to be clear this morning as we jump into this topic of baptism that baptism itself is not the life change. You don't get dunked in water and all of a sudden your life is different. The life change happens through Jesus Christ. And I want to share a verse with you found in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that talks about really what that's all about. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. So there's a radical transformation that happens. It's not through baptism. It's when we make the decision, according to the verse, to become in Christ. And these baptism candidates, they have done that. They have already said yes to Jesus. They're already in Christ. And the act of baptism, though not being salvation, is important. And what is it? Well, I mean, why do we celebrate baptism? Why do we do it? It's the recognition that they've already made that decision for new life. They've already made the decision to be in Christ. And it's their public declaration that they're going to do that and letting everybody know. That's why several friends and family are here today, because they're making a public declaration. And it's also identifying with Jesus in his death, which sounds kind of odd, but let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It says this, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. So this baptism that you're about to see, the reason, you know, a lot of churches do baptism different ways, and we immerse. This is how you're going to see it done today. You'll see people go under, fully under the water, and depending on how bad they are, they come out sooner or they come out later. No, it's not like that. They go fully under the water, and then they come back up. And the reason that we do it that way versus some of the ways that you'll see it done in other churches is, well, number one, that's the pattern that we see in Scripture. And that's the only pattern for baptism that we see in Scripture, is that people would go down into the water. The Bible uses that verbiage, and they come up out of the water. That's the verbiage the Bible uses when you see the examples of baptism throughout the New Testament. So we do it that way. Secondly, it fully symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection. Like I said, when they go down into the water, that's symbolic of death. We just read that in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It's symbolic of the death of Christ being buried, okay, with him and then being resurrected. Not only being buried with him, but being buried to your old way of living and then resurrected into a new life with Christ. So you look at that verse and you're like, well, what is, you know, buried with Jesus, what does that mean? Well, it means just kind of what I just alluded to, that we die to our old way of living before we found the new life that Jesus provides, and then we are symbolically are raised to life with him in Christ. You see, each one of these baptism candidates has a story that's unique, and you'll hear some of them today, but the overarching theme of those stories is all the same. It's, I was lost doing life my own way, then I met Jesus, and now I can have new life, and now I walk in new life. So for as much as I love to see an old car destined for the junkyard get rescued, renewed, restored, and given new life, it's 1,000 times more incredible to see a life that was headed down the path of destruction get rescued, restored, and brought new life through Christ.